Hello and welcome to the Easy Divorce podcast show with your host, family lawyer Lynn Lucas. This is the podcast show that provides information and advice for those going through the divorce process and trying to cope with an uncertain future. Plus, there's information for families and friends of loved ones traveling the separation path, including parenting and how to tell children about a divorce. Whatever stage you're going through, Lynn and the experts she will interview will give you the advice and information to help you through the divorce process and beyond. So now let me introduce your host, Lynn Lucas.
Hi, and welcome to today's Easy Divorce podcast show. A special guest today is Lara Watt. Lara is a financial coach who has a passion for educating her clients on financial matters. She has been in the finance industry all of her working career and left the corporate environment to start her own business as a mortgage broker and then as a financial advisor, loving every minute of it. Lara has experience in human resources and training and believes that education and knowledge is a foundation for any financial success. Passing this information on to her clients is of the utmost importance to Lara to help them build their wealth and become financially secure. Lara has seen many of her clients go through the emotional and financial roller coaster of divorce and has helped them start the new chapter of their lives on a positive note. So it's my pleasure to introduce you today to Lara Watt. Well, hi Lara. Welcome to our podcast show today and thanks so much for being our special guest.
You're very welcome, Lynn. Thank you for having me.
Great. Now, we've had some chats in the past and I've referred a few clients to you because the major problem with people when they first separate and divorce, their main concern is their financial position.
Yes, that's what I find as well, Lynn. So it has a huge impact on their financial situation going through a divorce. So I think it's really important that they speak to a specialist in that field.
Oh, look, absolutely. And in most cases, there are two incomes in the house that are suddenly reduced to one. And that's what causes a lot of concern, how we're going to pay the bills between now and property settlement, etc. And as you pointed out too in one of your articles that you kindly wrote and that I've posted on my website, there's generally one partner that takes responsibility for the family budget and financial matters. And this is what I find too with a lot of my clients. They don't have a clue what their assets are and what the bills are.
Yes, that's what I find as well. Like a lot of people do in a relationship, one person, as you said, takes responsibility for paying the bills and knows sort of what the incomings and outgoings are. And the other person sort of just puts that trust in the person who's paying all the bills and so forth. So, yeah, when that relationship dissolves, there's suddenly, you know, confronted with this responsibility that they're not used to. So often they don't even know where to start. And it could be even just, you know, knowing what's coming in and what's going out. So I find, that it's a good idea to be involved in all aspects in a relationship instead of just leaving it up to the one person.
Yes, well, as you say, it's generally a matter of trust sometimes, isn't it?
Yes.
And in a marriage or a relationship, the jobs are sometimes shared. One partner will look after finances and the other partner will look after other things. But it's so vital that you do keep track of the finances and know exactly what monies are coming in and the bills that are going out to be able to work out a budget, because that's what I find with a lot of my clients. They don't know where to start with getting their budget organised.
Yes, exactly. And we have a great budget calculator that we can offer to our clients, so it can just help them sort of do the figures and know where to put them and what's coming in and what's going out, how much is being put on credit and how much is being paid in cash.
Yeah, well, that's an excellent tool to have because having a budget, I mean, at least it gives them an idea of the sort of expenses that they're going to have once they've set up their own place and they're looking after their own finances. And certainly as a lawyer, I'm more than happy if my clients have been to a financial planner before they even come to see me. because the very first thing we do with a divorce property settlement is to ascertain what the assets and liabilities are and values, etc. And as I say, many clients come to me and they've got no idea even what their own super is, let alone the superannuation entitlements of their partner. So to get all of that straight first, I think is serving a really useful purpose.
Absolutely, yes, and that's what one of the things that I discussed in one of my blogs was just to, you know, take copies of things, and it doesn't hurt to take copies that shows an interest in the financial situation of the relationship. And so, you know, just before they go and see a solicitor, it's a good idea to contact someone in the financial industry just to find out what sort of things that they need to take copies of, you know, that maybe pay slips and, as you said, superannuation. Do they have any investments there that need to be looked at as well, or any other assets?
Yes.
So it's really, yes. And they can get an idea then of sort of, you know, what's coming and what's going just by having, just by taking those copies and or even doing it prior.
It's also serving that very important purpose of them being prepared for the sorts of expenses and outgoings that they're going to be faced with when they are on their own.
Yes, it does. It gives them an idea of, you know, how much money they're spending on food and just general living expenses, because that's probably one of the main costs to ourselves, apart from our mortgages, is just our general living expenses with food and rates and other bills, electricity, water. So,
yes.
And insurances. Yeah, so it's a good idea just to have them sort of have an estimate of how much people are spending on those sort of items.
Yes, that's right. And the other matter that then brings to mind is knowing what sort of expenses you're going to have between the time of separation and the time of your actual property settlement, because quite often after separation there are then two households that are creating expenses by way of rent for one and mortgage for the other, and you really need to come to some plan as to who's going to be paying for what, who can afford to pay what, so whether there is any cash available to just get over those initial expenses, such as one party moving out and that sort of thing.
Yes, that is a concern for a lot of people, is just, you know, can they actually afford to live separately? And I find that some people actually, because they can't afford to live in separate properties and pay a separate rent on top of the mortgage, they actually stay in the one house, but living separately, sort of just as
yes,
like housemates rather than the families. Yeah.
Yes, I'm finding that more and more. It's a very stressful thing to do, but sometimes the finances do dictate that's how things have to be until they're able to sort out their settlement.
Yes. So we can help them, you know, sort of have a look at their budget to see if that's a feasible objective that they can achieve. So, yeah, it's a good idea just to do a budget, and we can give them access to those calculators that we have.
Yes. Now, the other concern that clients also have is whether one partner is then accessing the credit card or savings without any consultation with the other. So there's a concern as to the monies that will be available. And I noticed that you were saying in one of your articles that it's wise to open up your own bank account so that you're then taking responsibility for your own finances, and preferably come to some agreement as to what you're going to draw out of your joint bank account, so that at least you each have some cash to carry on with and not one party taking out the whole lot.
Yes, absolutely. It really, by just having your own pool of money, I suppose, it just makes a little bit more empowered and a little bit more confident in themselves, just knowing that they've got their structure of income, I suppose, but they might not necessarily be working. They might be working and earning an income of their own, but if they've got joint accounts, sometimes it's a good idea to just have of your own accounts, just on the side. That's your own money that you can spend on what you want to spend it on. So when people are going through some difficult times and they don't have any security, I suppose, with some spare cash available, it's a good idea to open up a bank account just to become more aware of what some of the incomes and outgoings are, and you've got a little bit of a security safety net there in case they need it.
Yes, that's right. And I guess it's a good idea too that you really have to know the sort of debt that you're going to be taking on, because we've been talking about the steps that you should be taking immediately after separation, but then we go on to the next step of when the property settlement is finalised, what you do with whatever assets you then have, whether the house is going to be sold and you get some of the proceeds, or what's going to happen with other assets, whether shares are going to be liquidated, etc., etc. And I guess once you know what costs you're going to be up for during that period, it's going to help in the decision as to how the property should be divided.
Yes, and often property division is one of the biggest assets that they have. So that's sort of the biggest outcome after a divorce is they might be left at the end with a lump sum of money and they really don't know what to do with it. So do they want to, you know, purchase another property in their own name? And can they afford to do that? Some people might not be able to afford to live in the, or to purchase a property in the suburb that they're actually used to living in and their life living in.
So, yes. Yeah, that's quite right. And you did write an article about whether you should buy a property or rent after a divorce. And of course, that's the Australian dream, that everyone wants to own their own home. But it's not always a realistic wish, is it?
No, not at all. And it is, like you said, the great Australian dream of owning our own home. But there are other ones available for people. So they might be able to sort of rent, for example, in the suburb of their choice and purchase an investment property somewhere else. So that's paying itself off and it's all tax deductible, as opposed to purchasing property and having a huge mortgage on that property and not getting any benefit tax wise. So they're things that people need to consider, you know, when they've been left with a lump sum, and also to see a mortgage broker perhaps as well to help them, you know, get the loan that they require to purchase any sort of property if they're wanting to go down that path is also a good idea, because they have access to a number of lenders instead of just one. So they might not fit the policies of one lender, so they might be able to go to another that they do fit.
Yes, yeah, that's quite right, and depending on their circumstances as to whether they're able to borrow or not. And it's interesting when you talk about buying or renting after the divorce has gone through, because I've had a number of clients and they really want to keep the house because they want the children to stay in the same home, but the size of the mortgage means that their lifestyle changes enormously, and most of their income is going paying the mortgage, so they're not able to do the things that they used to be able to do when two incomes were coming in, and children will sometimes suffer. But if I could just ask you a little bit more about your suggestion that they rent a place in the area that they're used to and that they like, and buying a property in another area and then letting that out, because you talked about tax benefits there.
Yeah, so by getting a loan against an investment property, you can actually claim against that with tax deductions. So any money that's spent on the property, so with the interest and other fees like rates or, you know, electricity or other things, strata fees if it's a unit, then you can claim all of that against your income that you're receiving. So the actual cost of holding a rental property as opposed to an owner-occupied property, it can be a lot lower because you are getting the benefit of being able to claim against it in your tax.
So it's certainly an option that people should look at. And as we were just talking, it's it's only when you start working your budget out what sort of income you're coming in that you really get a good idea as to what are your better options. Yeah, so they're important issues too, your finances after your divorce, when you've just got your own income coming in, not a double income, and yeah. And just how you're going to manage those assets so that the money's working for you.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, it's working for you and working harder, but not... working smarter but not harder.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yes. And of course, as a lawyer, I'm not permitted to give financial advice to clients. So this is why it's always great for people to have that that financial advice as to the options open to them before the property settlement and then what they can do with their assets after the divorce goes through.
Yeah.
Yes, it's just that moving from that married
right.
to the single.
And also, yes, and just with the property settlement as well, like after everything's happened, you need to protect what you've got, and that changes again. So it's really important, I think, that people have the right protection in place through their insurances, which might be income protection insurance, and you know, just making sure that the beneficiaries on their wills are all updated and so forth, and also their superannuation, so those binding nominations.
Yes, that's right. And do all super funds now have the binding nominations?
There are binding nominations, which are generally for a certain term, and then there's the non-binding nomination, which can sort of be a little bit more complicated, I suppose. If something does happen, you know, it can open the superannuation up to other people claiming against it. So, yeah.
Yes, that's right, because I don't think people realise the power that a trustee of a super fund has, and even though there are beneficiaries nominated, it doesn't necessarily mean that those beneficiaries will get equal amounts from the super fund.
That's exactly right.
Does it? Yes, 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 because right. I've had a number of matters, and now I'm sort of more to advising people that it's better to have your binding nomination, or
yes.
as an alternative, make your binding nomination my legal representative or my estate, so that the super benefits do go into the estate and can be divided in accordance with your wishes.
Yes, that's right. And a lot of people think that it's just all covered under the will, but superannuation is a separate entity altogether and bypasses the will.
So, exactly, yeah, yes,
so
exactly.
It's really important that the superannuation fund is looked at, and the financial planner can help them do that as well.
Yes, that's right. And the insurance aspect too is particularly of advantage, I think, if the parties repartner later on, that their children are protected if they're going into another relationship.
Yes, absolutely, Lynn. We don't insure the biggest asset that we have, which is ourselves and our ability to work. So if that's taken away from us, it can leave children and, you know, partners in a terrible situation where they have to sell the family home, or they have to move in with extended family perhaps. So it's really important to make sure that the insurances are there to protect the assets as well as the people.
Yes, so it's really all about forward planning with these matters, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, just getting your plans in place, making sure that you update them where it's necessary to do that.
Yes.
And not waiting until there is a trauma or a disaster and suddenly you discover that things are not going to work out just the way you would have wanted them to, and the family members are protected the way you would want them protected.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, once they're in place, it's just a case of reviewing every year just to make sure that the circumstances haven't changed.
Yes.
and that the structure's still appropriate for their situation.
Mm. Yes, well, that's really good advice, and that's certainly the advice that I give to my clients when it comes to their estate planning documents as well. So that includes their will, and their power of attorney and their appointment of enduring guardian.
Yes.
But it's no good getting those documents organised and then putting them in a drawer and forgetting all about them, because the whole idea is to have them up to date so that what you're putting in place for your family and your loved ones is really going to happen, and the circumstances haven't changed and you haven't changed your documents.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. And so many people forget to do one of the biggest things, which is their will. They go through a divorce and they haven't updated their will. So, and that can cause a lot of disheartening between children and new spouses and so forth. So
yes, oh look, it certainly can, and I think a lot of people don't realise too that when you are divorced, that does change your will, so that you really must get a new one done.
Yes.
Otherwise, if your former partner is mentioned in the will and a divorce has happened, then they are virtually removed, which might leave your estate as an intestate estate.
Yes.
And the other thing that people don't realise too is that if you do marry or remarry, that negates any former will. So it's yes. These are just tiny little things that people don't realise that can make major differences to people's lives. So it's a good idea to consult with a specialist where possible. Certainly, you know, your financial planners and mortgage brokers and your lawyers when you're going through these life traumas, because that's basically what they are. And
exactly.
Just make sure that you've got everything in place.
Yes, that's right. And that's where, you know, this relationship as a business relationship works so well, because it's all sort of integrated into each other. So, yeah.
Yes, that's right. And of course, talking about businesses, we haven't even touched on businesses with and the impact that a divorce can have on businesses too. But perhaps that's something we can talk about at another time.
Yes,
yes,
that's
right. Lots of different aspects to it.
There are, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, look, that's great. We're coming toward the end of our time, Lara. It's been wonderful to have you talk to us about these really important things when it comes to a divorce and a separation, because it can affect people, and the protection they want to give to their families, they must make sure that is there. So could you just remind us of your website address?
So our website address is www.selectorgroup.com.au.
That's great. And they can always get in touch with you if any listeners want to do that.
And they can always contact me on my mobile. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
And Lynn, I'd like to also offer anyone that comes through you just a complimentary review of their situation, if they would like to give me a call at all. It should probably take about 15 minutes. I might even get them to fill out a quick questionnaire that gives me an overview of what the situation is, and then we can sort of go from there to find out, you know, what their goals are and what they're wanting to get out of it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, that's a very, very generous offer, and thank you for that. I know that a couple of clients that I've referred to just recently have felt much better about their finances after they've spoken to you, because it is a traumatic time and people get very worried about these things. But once you can get that expert financial advice, you can look at things in a different perspective and feel more comfortable about it.
Yes, absolutely. And because people are so emotional about it, it's nice to just have somebody as a third party to start, have a look at and do an overview of everything. Yeah, because it is just such an emotional period.
Well, it is. And as you say, having somebody outside of the family or whatever to give them that advice, because I do find that a lot of people will listen to friends and family, all very well-meaning, but everybody's situation is different, and it's really important that you get the advice on what can happen in your situation.
Absolutely.
That's great. Lara, thank you once again. Really appreciate you giving us some time out of your day today, and hopefully we'll be able to chat again soon.
My pleasure, Lynn. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for being part of our community today and listening to our podcast. You can listen to other podcasts on our website and iTunes channel, Easy Divorce Podcast, and download them onto your mobile devices so you can listen to them at any time. While you're on iTunes, we'd love you to support us by subscribing to our podcast show and leaving your review and rating. And check out our website for our latest products and our blog, and sign up for our newsletter. There's also a free download, Guide to Saving Money on Divorce Property Settlements. I look forward to meeting up with you at our next podcast show. We'll see you then.